Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm Duncan MacLeod. We take a break from our normal interview style in this podcast to bring you an extraordinary presentation delivered by Asha Bobot, the former CEO of EOH and now its executive chairman, at the company's interim results presentation in Johannesburg on Wednesday. In the presentation, Bobot said EOH was caught up in a, quote, war, end quote, over state capture in South Africa. Bobot described the past year of one of, quote, shock, anxiety and drama, end quote, for EOH and its employees. In his extraordinary remarks, he both lashed out at the media's coverage of the company in the past year, while at the same time praising journalists for unearthing corruption and state capture in South Africa. I'm quoting here, "We can feel bitter, twisted, angry, or we can choose to think about it differently," he said. "The way we see it is that EOH and our own people were part of the struggle for the changes that happened in this country in the middle of December. Without the media pushing so hard, I have zero doubt that the change that has happened, and it was touch and go, happened because of the media. The media carried that battle." Bobot then went on to say, "We don't see ourselves as victims. We are not victims. We have been part of that battle. In 20 years' time, we can say we were there. Maybe we were used as cannon fodder, but looking back at it in the scheme of the next 100 years, it's nothing. It's a cheap price to pay for EOH and all of us in the country. So, make of it what you will, but it's certainly worth a listen. Also, have a look at techcentral.co.za, where we have published an article on the presentation. We do apologize about the quality of the audio, which is not to our usual standard, but it was recorded on a cell phone. But we do think it's well worth the listen. Here, then, is Asha Bobot.
As the non-executive chairman, really to set the scene for the presentation, and it is different from any other presentation. The fact that it's the period that we've passed happened to EOH with specific context relates to where our country was and is. It's in the context of the evolution and the change, and probably the second time it happened to us after 24 years, the second time that the country, we didn't see it as much, but we in EOH, because we were in the middle of it, we've seen the struggle of our country for saving itself, really, from what would have been an extremely dire situation, and it was touch and go. And in a funny way, we were a player in it. Bit quick history of what happened in the last year. April last year, an article in the paper that says somewhere something about somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who might do something with somebody, maybe. It was quite actually written semi-light-hearted, etc. And I remember it well because I was on holiday with my family overseas, and we got a phone call, there is this article, what to do, and we said, just leave it. And then we got a lot of you guys, the fund managers, analysts, you must respond, phone calls. I remember it because there was no reception in the hotel, and I like get the message. And we kind of responded because we were pushed to respond, and then all hell broke loose. because we responded to it. And then we started talking to the journalists, and we done whatever we needed to do to show them, etc. A process, by the way, that took 6 months. 6 months to show them that nothing has happened, there is nothing, there was nothing. And we sat and Zunaid spent, I don't know, 100 meetings on it with the journalists. And they were fair. They gave a chance. 6 months later, they came out and said that there was no unlawful thing done by UH, written somewhere, which is fine. And then in July, another media house decided to take the very same article and what we call did the great cut and paste, literally the original article, not even going and putting a comma somewhere, like as is, stick it and give it the most horrendous header or headline you can ever think of. Think of a horrible headline that you're fearing that somebody's going to write about you. It's worse. It was worse, and we're sitting there looking at it. And then really, all hell breaks loose. And that's when you started to invite people, I don't know, playing, shorting, doing stuff. Stuff happened. That's as far as the share. But that's not the issue. We never care about the share specifically. At the same time, we've hired ENS, Edward Nathan Sonnenberg, to come and have a look and see what is it that is happening. What are the governance? What are the processes, etc. I'm sure Zunaid will cover it in detail. And as I said, in October, we got a kind of exoneration from the original article that was copied. Original copy, therefore you should be exonerated from the second one. Also, it's the same article stolen from another party for a different purpose. And then November, we had again in the media articles relating to individual that we've acquired a business from that was allegedly blamed of this or that thing. We were busy with it anyhow to separate from two, and we expedited it, and we cut ties, and we decided that it's the right and appropriate thing to do from a business point of view, from all aspects that are possible. We also got DNS to go and check specifically if there is any compromise between UOH and that organization. Has anybody in UOH done anything? Has UOH compromised? Has UOH anything? And I'm glad to say that there is a report of late now that says that nobody in UOH done anything wrong. Nobody has compromised. And furthermore, the risk from any future eventual activity would not be there. It's negligible because of our own action there. During this period, and I'm setting the scene, it sounds like a scene of lots of novels are written with a background of a war or a revolution. It adds a lot to the story. So that was the background to our story, the story specifically of these results that you're going to be presenting. So during this period, okay, internally, that business in great shock and trauma for an organization that's been around for 20 years, has been at the top of its game for that period, has grown and developed and contributed, and we're not asking for other people to tell us. We know what we've done to contribute to our society, to the development, to youth and job creation, and a whole lot of other developmental activities, and a business that sees itself, okay, as a force for good out there in society. And frankly, you cannot build a 13,000 business without having a good base, sound base of good ethics, good morals, good practices. To tell you now that I'm a sign that for the next 100 years, nobody in New Age will ever do anything wrong, I can't. Are we as a business doing everything that we can to prevent it? That we can say we are. So during this period, the organization internally, shock, anxiety, drama, people fearing for their own life, their own job security. And they've been seeing other organizations around at the time falling apart, etc. And I had a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning from a single mother working for us. And she says, sorry, I'm calling, I don't know what to do. I'm scared. I'm a single breadwinner. I've got 2 children. I don't know what to do. And then she realized this is 5 o'clock in the morning. She said, sorry, sorry. And she sent me 20 messages the whole day. She said, apologies for calling you. But she knows me personally, so she contacted me. The other 12,999 didn't feel any different. Did not feel any different. They were all sitting and worrying about their own livelihood, not about UH. It's gone deeper than worrying about UH. And we have to calm down. We have to say, hey, we've got a business, it's great, it's done, etc. Let alone the anxiety that is derived for people in the business who may have shares or share options, etc. Happened. We went through it. Externally, Junaid, maybe I'll talk on your behalf here. Junaid took a lot of ground of it, but the entire management of UH, basically, we spent 6 months going to ethical and risk committees, risk and governance officers, CEOs sitting in front of board to explain what is happening. What is it? I read in the paper you there. What? And you have to do it. And you go and go. And Junaid used to go from meeting to meeting to meeting. We did it. We accepted it. It's part of it. Furthermore, anybody who wanted to award, is the UH, is a question, maybe we should delay, we like them, they're doing good work, but let me ask, ask the procurement officer, and he says, I won't sign, maybe give it to the governance guy to sign, the governance wants us and say, all that dynamic. Why? Because we live in such and such, it's going down and hopefully it will go away. Such a toxic environment against anything to do with corruption, government, and anything, which was rightly so, by the way, was not wrong. It was the right thing to think, right thing to feel, and right thing to behave from society. But that's where we lived. We lived in this McCarthyism environment, and you just have to deal with it. And we did. I must compliment the management of EOH for doing so. I wasn't involved in talking to any customer or any business partner. Lots of things we put on hold. Payments. If you are in public sector and you want to pay somebody and you hear the paper, you say, now they're going to think, so I'm not going to sign this. And then to sign a project, sign off, I'm not going to sign it. Nobody will blame me that maybe I have somebody who done this. That's the environment. As far as the media, you know, we can choose, and we spent lots and lots of nights, it's been a year. As far as the media, we can choose to feel victims, somebody's done us wrong, somebody harmed us. We can feel bitter, twisted, angry, feeling a feeling of it's not right, it's unfair, somebody done. Or we can choose, to think it different, to think about it differently. The way we see it is that UH, us, our own people, were part of the struggle for the change that has happened in this country in the middle of December. I think without the media pushing so hard, pushing like all you can see in the papers is corruption, corruption, and this one did, and Gupta this, and Gupta that, and this minister and that. Just a whole attack. And I have got personally zero doubt that what the change that has happened, and it was touch and go, happened because of the media. The media carried that battle. And I believe if the media didn't act, and yes, this collateral damage sometimes in wars, you know, innocent people get hurt. But we don't see ourselves as victims. We're not victims. You've just been part of that battle. And in 20 years' time, we can say we were there. Maybe we were there as a cannon fodder by media. Maybe we were used to for that. But looking backwards in the scheme of things, in the scheme of the next 100 years, it's nothing. Having 6 months that's not perfect, it's nothing. It's a cheap price to pay for having, as the OIH and all of us in the country, having the opportunity to look positively in the next 20 years in a good, normalized environment, in a healthy state of affairs of the country. And we're already seeing it. In fact, between these results is till the 31st of July, of January, and we've seen in February and March, which is whatever, 7 weeks, already in a marked change. We won lots of stuff, even public sector paid, I think, 500 million during this period from all debt. We've seen society starting to look forward positively. So if there are any media people here, I'd like to thank you on behalf of all this country for winning that battle. I have no doubt that without that media, so we were part of it. We got hurt a little bit. We got injured in a war. We put plasters or whatever, and we get on. Looking forward, and obviously I'm not biased here. It's a great organization, it's a great business, great people. We are so involved in this, in our economy here. 85% is local. We contribute to just about any large organization in this country, in public sector and private sector. 80-odd% is in the private sector. Okay. And I believe that the future this business is sound. This experience that we had actually showed the resilience of this business, showed how strong this business, showed that if we are tested in these times, and we even grown our revenue during this period, okay? Just imagine when we don't have all this, the pressure that the organization was involved in. I'm glad to say, and it's very important, that yesterday the president has opened this youth job creation intern system. And I'd like to just remind you that we've been pushing it and paid a lot of money to advertise it, promote it, and we've created 35,000 jobs for youth in this country through the intern thing. And I'm glad that the president himself took it upon himself, saying exactly the same things, going through internship and educating to prepare people for real jobs, to equip them to go out there and have a life. And he committed to 1 million. He committed originally to only 100,000. So we spoke to the Business South Africa at the time, where Ryan and myself went there and discussed with them this initiative, that it's one way that we can mobilize our youth and get them to play in the economy. With that, I'd like to thank you. Myself, I have 1,000% confidence in the business, to that extent that the number of shares I had before this saga started and the number of shares I have substantial now is exactly the same. Thank you.